What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Brandon DeCruz, and today is episode 98, where we're going to discuss the top 10 nutrition mistakes that are messing up your muscle gain progress and your building phases. And as a nutritionist and physique coach, a big focus of mine is to help improve the approach my clients take towards their nutrition and their training to help them optimize their results, their body composition, and their health outcomes. Another component of coaching is helping individuals get out of their own way and to learn from their mistakes of the past so that they aren't destined to repeat the same mistakes they've made previous to coming to me, which have left them unhappy with the results they attained and frustrated with their outcomes and their lack of progress. I also really try to help my clients not only learn from the mistakes that they've personally made in the past, but also to help them avoid making the same mistakes again going forward. But I also try to help them avoid the many mistakes I made early on in my own training, nutrition, and fitness journey, and the many mistakes I've seen others make over the last 10 years that I, or 11 years that I've been coaching, as my goal is help my clients get to their goals in the most effective and efficient manner possible. And a big part of that is helping them navigate the best path towards their goals and to help them overcome the inherent obstacles, hurdles, and setbacks that come along the way. And in past episodes of the show, I've covered like the main mistakes many make, which derail their fat loss progress. And I actually did a two-part series way back in the day on this, which was episode 29, where I went over the top dietary mistakes derailing your fat loss progress and how to navigate the difficulties of dieting and how to avoid common mistakes that many make during a dieting phase. And then in episode 30, I covered the lifestyle factors that limit your fat loss and body composition progress. So if your current goal at this time is losing body fat, I really do encourage you guys to go back to episodes 29 and 30 and listen to that series. But I also wanted to create a series on the most common mistakes individuals make during a building phase, which hinder their ability to gain muscle and maximize their body composition outcomes. A building phase is a period of time where you focus your efforts on accumulating muscle mass, increasing strength, and improving your training performance in order to improve your physique, whether that be through the addition of just more total muscle or by bringing up specific muscles and body parts that are weak points on your physique, which is what I specifically use specialization cycles for with my clients. And seeing as I'm an accredited nutritionist who focuses on physique transformation and body composition improvement, the vast majority of the clients that I work with wish to build muscle and lose fat so that they can attain a lean, muscular, and healthy physique. So my goal with when coaching a client through a building phase is to help them gain muscle mass so that the next time we enter a fat loss phase and diet down, their physique is not only leaner than it's been in the past and during past diets that they've done on their own, but they also have more muscle and have a better overall shape to their physique. So we're trying to reveal a leaner, better version of themselves rather than just a skinnier, smaller version of themselves. However, in all the years I've been coaching, there have been a lot of approaches and actions I've seen others take, and I myself have even tried in the past, which have left us not getting the muscle growth results that we desired and have either caused us to spin our wheels and not gain a significant amount of muscle tissue, or they've caused us to gain weight at too rapid of a rate and just pile on body fat, which are all suboptimal ways of going about physique or body composition improvement. And that's what we're going to cover today, because I'd really like to be able to not only increase awareness around these mistakes that are common, but also to give you guys strategies on how to avoid them or what to look out for, or ways in which you can increase your awareness around things that you should look out for when engaging in a muscle gain phase in order to optimize not only your approach to the phase, but also the results and outcomes that you guys get. This is why I'm a big advocate of taking a lean building phase approach to muscle gain, as I discussed in episodes 94, 95, and 97 of the show, and why I believe you should periodize your body composition goals to maximize your physique progress. And how I do that with my own clients is I use a phasic and a periodized approach to different body composition goals, where I structure different phases in a specific order to attain better physique outcomes and better body composition progress long term. And often, when a new client comes to me, their primary goal is to lose body fat and build muscle, which is why I'll usually start our time working together with a primer phase, which is a phase where I essentially improve their approach to nutrition and training. I work on the bottlenecks and issues that have been holding them back in the past, such as the habits and the behaviors, which aren't conducive to their physique and health goals. I improve their lifestyle, their biofeedback, their hormones, and improve their body's responsiveness to both training and nutrition. Because a lot of times people come to me and they've tried everything. They've thrown a ton of shit at the wall to see what sticks, but they really don't know what strategies have worked best for them. But what they do know is that they don't feel great. They're not attaining the body composition results they want. And what might have worked in the past is no longer working. So their body has become less responsive because it's overstressed, it's undernourished, and there's so many stopgaps in the system which are bottlenecking their ability to make progress. So during a primer phase, I often am able to help clients lose body fat while building muscle, as this first phase is usually a much different approach than what they've been doing. So essentially what this is, it's a novel stimulus where I've optimized all these different variables within their nutrition, their training, their supplementation, their lifestyle, their sleep, their stress management. And so it's really, their body is really able to respond positively to it. Now, after the primer phase, my clients are set up and primed, no pun intended, to tackle their next physique focus goal. So if after a primer phase, my client's goal is to lose more body fat and get significantly leaner, I'll then transition them to a fat loss phase. But if a client wants and needs to gain a lot more muscle to build the physique that they're looking for, we'll enter a lean building phase, which has been the topic of discussion the last few podcasts that we've done. Now, the issue is that most people want to be a more muscular version of themselves and they want to build muscle, but their approach, and their actions don't actually match their ambitions and their desires. And most individuals spend much of their focus, their time, their attention, and their energy on their fat loss phases, which is great if your goal is solely to get lean. However, if you want to gain muscle and improve the overall look of your physique, this isn't the most effective approach, especially if you're only really making concerted efforts during your fat loss phases. And this is due to the fact that most will simply maintain muscle and strength during an extended fat loss phase, with even the most regimented and structured of individuals gaining a small amount of muscle in that process. So regardless of whether you're a physique enthusiast, you're a lifestyle client, you're a physique competitor, or you're an athlete, it's important to realize that if you truly want to build a noticeable amount of muscle that will change the look of your physique, you're going to need to commit, to a phase and commit time that's focused entirely on building, aka on muscle growth. And a building phase is your best opportunity and chance to gain muscle, get better, and make the improvements you want so that the next time you diet down and lose body fat, you'll look noticeably different and will be happy with the physique you see in the mirror, rather than what many people find themselves in is they finish a dieting phase and they either look the same or they're unhappy with the physique they have. They don't have the shape that they desire. Many women will report that, like, they don't have like the curves that they wanted or a round booty or whatever it may be. And then with guys, it's like, I've lost my chest and arms. And that's often because they didn't have the requisite or enough muscle mass to start the phase of dieting. Yet they get to the end of it and they've actually oftentimes lost muscle in the process. So now they're just a skinnier, smaller version of themselves rather than a leaner, better, stronger version of themselves. So on today's episode of the show, I want to cover the top 10 nutrition mistakes messing up your muscle gain progress. And so to start off, we're going to go through mistake one, which is trying to stay too lean year round and never getting out of a deficit despite wanting to gain muscle. And this is a common mistake many who have always been fat loss focused make. And doing so will hinder your ability to gain muscle and improve your training performance. The fact of the matter is that for the vast majority of trainees, you're not going to be able to diet and calorie deficit your way to a more muscular physique. Also, I noticed that many of the individuals who try to stay too lean year-round also don't have a ton of muscle to begin with. So although they're always focused on staying lean, they still don't have the physique they desire because they don't have enough muscle to attain that physique that they want, even when they do get lean and even if they do stay lean. So unless you spent years focused on building muscle and building a foundation, you most likely don't have the muscle tissue required to achieve a muscular physique when you do cut down, which is why it's important to spend a period of time fueling yourself appropriately and really focusing on building muscle. So if you're someone who has spent years dieting and you spend more time in a deficit every year than you do eating at maintenance or in a slight surplus, yet every time you cut down, you aren't satisfied with your results and how your physique looks, feels, performs, and functions, I really do encourage you to shift your focus and to be willing to try a lean building approach so that you could put yourself in the best position to succeed both physically and then also mentally. I also think it's important to hit on some of the downsides of staying, too lean year round and trying to do so long term, as the vast majority of individuals struggle to get lean, to get very lean, first and foremost, but many struggle to stay there year round. But those who do can often essentially suffer consequences as a result of doing so, because they're essentially forcing their body into that state of being. And often those who do try to maintain a much lower body fat percentage than they can comfortably maintain do so by undereating and underfueling themselves. But that has consequences in and of itself, as that can actually lead to an impaired ability to gain and even maintain muscle. And in many cases, those who are constantly underfueling themselves lose muscle from prolonged dieting, which actually lowers their metabolic rate and the calorie intake they need to sustain to stay lean, because now you're actually reducing your maintenance calorie intake. So now you have to, continually eat less and eat less and eat less just to maintain the physique that you've had. And it becomes a struggle both physically and mentally. Also, staying in this prolonged dieting state can negatively impact your sex hormone and your thyroid hormone production. It can cause the cessation of a menstrual cycle, which is a sign that you're not in a good place for reproduction and most certainly not in a good place for muscle growth. And it can negatively impact your training, your recovery, your sleep, and your biofeedback, which are all important aspects of the muscle growth process. And so, this isn't to say that you shouldn't aim for a lean, healthy physique, but you need to try to strike a middle ground between maintaining a healthy percentage of body fat and sufficiently fueling yourself, which can be done when taking a lean building phase approach, as this is what I do with many of my clients. If you're someone who's trying to stay shredded year round because that's what your favorite influencer on Instagram does, you need to realize that what works for a genetic freak who makes their full income from getting paid to work out and diet and to look a certain way is most likely not going to work for you because A, you most likely don't have their genetics, or else you would be in their situation where you'd be getting paid to post content on a daily basis. And that isn't the case for honestly much of the people that I know. And I do know some fitness influencers, and even they, unless they have their genetic outliers, it's the 0.01% of individuals that can make a living just based off the way they look. And this is coming from someone, I'm being completely transparent and honest with you guys. I get paid for modeling for over 10 years. It was never my full-time career. And I was someone that was very physique focused, but it isn't something that it's going to pay your bills or really make you a substantial income. And it isn't something that's healthy to stay year round. And this is why I speak on these topics, because I've made these mistakes, and I really would like I would like to try to help others avoid the same mistakes that I've made in the past. Another factor of that is like B, you most likely don't have nearly the amount of free time to devote to training, cardio, and sleep as these individuals do. C, you most likely have far higher life stress and responsibilities than they do, which you need to prioritize and take care of. And D, you most likely don't have the same foundation of muscle built as they do, as many of the most popular and well-known influencers on social media have been training hard for decades and did go through dedicated periods of muscle gain, which is why they're now able to display a lean muscular physique. And here's the thing. I've known many people that were professional bodybuilders or they're fitness professionals, and oftentimes they're not posting when they're in an off season or when they've gained weight or when they've really been focusing on muscle building. And so you're only seeing a part of the equation. You're only seeing their highlight reel, which is honestly what social media shows you. And so, it's really important to be objective and aware of these things because, you also really want to take things that you see on social media with a grain of salt, essentially. It's fine to look at others for motivation and inspiration, but you shouldn't be forming your physique aspirations and your goals based on what someone else who lives a completely different lifestyle than you is doing and how they look, as we all have our own lives, goals, lifestyle constraints, and abilities. And fitness should be about aspiring to become a better version of ourselves, not competing with someone else that we see on social media. So, on to mistake two, which is not being willing to eat a sufficient amount of calories to gain muscle. Building muscle is an energy-intensive and calorie-costly process that requires enough fuel to build it, as you can't build something out of nothing. So being in a slight surplus during a building phase is the best way to set yourself up for success, especially when your goal is to improve your physique through the addition of muscle mass. And this will ensure you have enough nutrients to fuel hard stimulative training and also to enhance recovery so that you can recover and adapt to the demands of your training and maximize the physique progress and body composition outcomes from the hard work you're putting in the gym. I generally encounter people on two different sides of the spectrum when it comes to how they approach their nutrition for gaining muscle. And to be honest with you guys, both of them aren't, optimal or conducive by any means. So we have some who take a seafood approach, seafood diet approach essentially, where they eat far too many calories for their needs during a building phase, and they just end up packing on a ton of fat in the process. But due to the fact that I work with so many individuals who have the goal of losing body fat and keeping it off, and I tend to get contacted by a lot of individuals with long dieting histories, especially the female population that I work with. Many of these individuals are on the exact opposite side of the spectrum, and they aren't willing to eat enough to support the process of muscle growth. And if you're someone who's already been training for years and you're lean, the likelihood of you building a substantial amount of muscle in a deficit is quite low, to be honest. So although it is true that we can recomp and build a bit of muscle in a slight deficit, most aren't going to be able to diet their way to a way more a way more muscular, shapelier physique. And this is important to realize, as there are so many men I work with who want a bigger set of chest and arms, or women that I work with who want a bigger set of glutes, but many times they're extremely hesitant to eat enough to actually achieve those goals. And when they're unwilling to do so, they bottleneck and they handicap their ability to actually get those goals. And these individuals are often, scared to see their scale weight go up as well, as they automatically associate that with fat gain. But building muscle is going to increase your total body mass. So this is a part of the process. And so this often results in someone spinning their wheels and staying the same, which is why I like to take a lean building approach, where I slowly and carefully increase their calorie intake to meet the energetic demands of their training and how I'm programming their training and progressing it over time. And I like to utilize nutrition as a complement to their training programming in order to maximize muscle growth and minimize body fat gain. On to mistake number three, which is not staying in a building phase long enough and approaching a building phase like you do a fat loss phase. So many have a skewed reality or perception of how long it takes to build a tangible amount of muscle, which is why they often don't commit enough time to a building phase and they don't grow and make progress as a result. And it's really important to realize that you can't expect to put on a noticeable amount of muscle in 8 to 12 weeks if you're someone who's already well trained, and especially if you aren't nailing every single variable every single day. And most people, even if they are consistent, they're not perfect. And I don't expect that. However, if you're not nailing things on a daily basis and checking off the boxes, you're not going to make substantial progress in the span of 2 or 3 months. It's going to have to be 4+ months. So building phases don't work on the same time scale as fat loss phases do. Yet, many approach these phases in the same way that they do a fat loss phase, which is a huge mistake within this industry. And so many expect progress to happen as quickly as it does in a fat loss phase, where visual progress can be seen on a weekly basis, but muscle building is a long-term investment and a much longer-term process in general. And this mistake often results in you going between building phases to frequent dieting. And because you never stay in a surplus long enough, you never actually give your body the opportunity to build a substantial amount of muscle. So essentially, you just keep spinning your wheels. I think it's also important to realize that due to the fact that gaining muscle is a much slower process than losing body fat is, and the fact that we want to use a slight surplus to minimize fat gain, your building phases should not only feature a slower rate of weight change per week and per month, but your building phases should also last a longer period of time than your fat loss phases do, unless you are someone that has excess adiposity and you have, 40, 50 pounds to lose. That's an exception to the rule, but for most people, it's going to take them far longer to build a substantial amount of muscle to improve their physique than it is going to take to lose a substantial amount of body fat to improve the look of their physique. So, if a client's goal is to maximize muscle gain, I like to see them in a building phase for 4 times as long as a fat loss phase, meaning we may take 8 months out of the year for building and then follow it up by 2 months of cutting. And this 4-to-1 ratio can change dependent on the client, but how I determine this is based off the difference in rates of weight change and progress for fat loss as compared to muscle gain. So, for instance, with most of my clients, I generally aim for a 0.5 to 1% weekly rate of loss, which comes out to 2 to 4% monthly rate of loss or body weight loss per month during fat loss phases, as that's what I've seen both in my experience and in the research to be the most effective rate of loss where muscle retention is maximized. Yet, when it comes to gaining phases, I rarely have a client go over 0.25 to 0.5% per week, which comes out to 1 to 2% gain per month. So, over the course of a month, in a cut, I may have a client lose, 4% of their total body weight, whereas I would aim for them to gain 1% of total body weight during a building phase. So building is about 4 times as long of a process as cutting is, which is why I prefer to spend more time there. And so also in terms of timelines and this ratio of building to cutting, I found that most clients will need to build for a minimum of 4 months to increase their likelihood of muscle growth. But optimally, the best results I found is from a 6 to 8 month building phase, as it takes time to gain muscle building momentum, and muscle growth isn't something that we can do in a compressed period of time like we can do with fat loss, where we can utilize a 4 to 6 week mini cut when the goal is fast fat loss. However, the same thing cannot be said about fast muscle growth, because generally, when you just take a fast rate to try to gain, you're just going to gain excess adipose or fat tissue rather than gaining muscle at an expedited rate. Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, mistake number four is eating in too large of a surplus. So it's really important to make this clear. You cannot force feed muscle growth. Training is a stimulus to build muscle, while nutrition is permissive of that muscle growth. So being in a surplus can make gaining muscle more effective, but eating more calories doesn't automatically equal more muscle growth. And I find that many are still under this antiquated viewpoint of building phases being a time period where calories need to be pushed up as much as possible, and you just continue eating more and more in order to gain muscle mass. And many of us have been in the nutrition, many of us that have been in the nutrition and fitness industries for decades have taken this type of approach where we thought that we were maximizing our growth potential by pushing calories as high as possible, as we would, and we've done this in the past, but I think anyone that has truly done this can tell you that they gained a lot more fat than they expected or that they wanted to. And although it did yield gains in muscle, that approach also made their next fat loss phase longer and more difficult. And at one point, they just started to accumulate more fat than muscle mass, which turned a phase that should have been about improving one's body composition into a period where they constantly felt stuffed and uncomfortable and didn't like the way that they felt or looked. And I know that I myself used a large surplus during multiple building phases early on in my training career. And based on the information that was available in the late 2000s and even like the early 2010s, a lot of us tried to push calories up, as we were under the impression that the more weight we gained, the more muscle we net. But I'll tell you personally, all this did was cause me to gain more body fat, which made assessing my visual progress much more difficult. So as I was getting heavier and heavier, it was like I didn't know if I was adding muscle or I was adding fat, because at that time I was so inexperienced. We're talking about the first couple of years I was training, that I was just seeing weight. Like in my mind, weight progression was an indication of muscle growth, and I had a skewed perception of what that really meant. And in reality, I was just gaining more fat than I was muscle. It also caused me to start developing insulin resistance, where both my fasting blood glucose and my HbA1c started to elevate past a point that I was comfortable with, especially because my father was a diabetic, and type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance is something that I'm genetically predisposed to. So I was very cognizant of that. And when I started seeing things elevate on my blood work, I was like, I need to pull things back. It also skewed other aspects of my lab work. So that included stuff like my cholesterol profile, especially my LDL started going up quite substantially, and my triglycerides. In addition to that, it hindered my digestive health because I was pushing so many calories that I constantly felt stuffed, bloated. I was dealing with digestive distress, and it had negative downstream effects on on a lot of my training and my biofeedback metrics, including my ability to perform high rep sets, my ability to recover and catch my breath in between sets. Like I was constantly winded. My sleep quality was starting to diminish. My energy levels were, really insufficient to say the least, because I always felt bogged down because at that point, I was pushing like 5,000 plus calories per day. So I just felt like I was constantly overfed and stuff. And that's essentially what I was. So you go through this long phase of pushing calories and feeling pretty shitty, only to have to diet even harder and longer during your next fat loss phase, which is what I had to do after my most massive bulks that I did early on. And ultimately, I can tell you from experience that that type of approach just isn't worth it. It doesn't net you any better gains, doesn't net a better experience, better biofeedback, nothing. Honestly, it only has more decrements and detriments than it does benefits. And this is because if you do eat in too large of a surplus, you're going to accumulate body fat quickly, which is going to drive up inflammation and drive down insulin sensitivity, which will all compound on one another. So then, if you do take this approach where you push calories way too high and you try to go for a fast rate of gain, you're going to get to the point where your body composition is looking worse, you're gaining more fat mass than you are muscle mass, you're losing insulin sensitivity and inducing insulin resistance, you have subpar nutrient partitioning, so more of the calories you're taking in are being stored in fat tissue than they are in muscle, your training performance is improving due to the fact that your conditioning and your aerobic fitness levels are declining, you're losing pumps in the gym, not only due to, the insulin resistance that you're inducing, but you're just overstuffed and you're losing that mind to muscle connection that helps you really connect with the exercises that you're utilizing. And your digestion starts to take a hit, and it's becoming more and more difficult for you to digest and assimilate nutrients and to get your meals down. So eventually, all these factors will compound on each other, and you feel so uncomfortable that you cut the building phase short, which limits the actual total amount of muscle you're able to gain. And all you really got out of that building phase taking this approach was a higher amount of body fat that you now have to spend extra time trying to lose and working even harder to essentially undo the negative consequences of the approach that you took. So, mistake number five is taking too fast of a rate of gain. And many make the mistake of approaching their building phases at the same speed as they have their previous fat loss phases, which is too quickly and aggressively. And although targeting an average weekly rate of loss of 0.5 to 1% is what I've seen to work best for both fat loss phases in terms of muscle preservation with my clients, and it's also what we see to be the most effective rate of loss for fat loss in the research, taking this same rate of weight change and applying it to a building phase is a big mistake in a situation that will set you up for unnecessary and excessive fat gain. And gaining muscle is a process that is much slower than the process of losing body fat. And also, when comparing losing 1 pound during a dieting phase compared to gaining 1 pound in a weight gain phase, the proportions of those pounds are much different. So despite this fact, many people treat their rates of loss and gain the same between their fat loss and their muscle gain phases. And this is not only due to a lack of education, but also due to the fact that many want results as quickly as possible. So they're trying to speed up the process, but we can only gain muscle at so quick of a rate, and that rate is slow and steady, to be honest. Over the years, I've encountered far too many people who have gained weight back after a fat loss phase at the same rate that they lost it at. And it's essentially because they think that there's this anabolic rebound where they'll just, but what ends up happening is they just end up gaining fat in the process, as your body is basically primed for fat regain in the post-diet period, which is why so many people experience the body fat overshooting effects, which is something that I've covered in detail in episodes 23 of the podcast. And this is why it's important for you to not go into a building phase expecting to gain weight as fast as you've lost in the past, as you will never gain muscle as quickly as you can lose body fat. As physiologically, muscle gain is a much more time-intensive and difficult process to accomplish than fat losses. Also, if your experience, your ability to put on muscle is going to be slower, so you should be taking a less aggressive approach and aiming for a lower target rate of gain than a beginner would, as you want to pair the size of your surplus and your target rate of weekly gain with a realistic rate of muscle gain that you can actually put on, as the goal shouldn't be to gain weight in a building phase. It should be to build muscle in order to have a better physique the next time you do cut down. So yes, you're going to gain weight throughout the course of the phase, but that should not be your only target. It shouldn't be about trying to be heavier every single time that you step on the scale. And that's something that some people make the mistake of doing, especially those who take too fast of a rate of gain. So generally, I wouldn't recommend above a weekly rate of gain of 0.25 to 0.5% for intermediate or advanced trainees. And I've also, you know, I've seen far too many people gain weight back after a fat loss phase in the name of, you know, gaining muscle at the same rate that they lost it, and they just end up getting fat in the process. So for example, say someone is 200 pounds at the start of the diet and has quite a bit of fat on their frame, so they decide to enter a 16-week fat loss phase. If this individual loses at the rate of 0.5 to 1% rate of loss per week during a 16-week fat loss phase, they would lose between 1 to 2 pounds a week on average. If they were to hit that average throughout the course of the entire phase, so they hit 1.5 pounds per week as an average, they could lose 24 pounds, much of that being from the loss of fat mass. Yet if after their fat loss phase, they literally reverse the process and gain right back at that rate, it's going to yield excessive fat regain, as you can't gain back muscle as fast as you lost body fat, and you'll never gain muscle that quickly. So if you were to lose 24 pounds in 16 weeks and then regain 24 pounds in 16 weeks, it's going to be mostly fat. And this is a situation I actually just literally encountered with a new client that I onboarded this past week. So prior to contacting me, this client had done a fat loss phase and a bulk with another coach and was extremely frustrated with the outcomes when he contacted me. So during the fat loss phase, he went from around 190 pounds at the start to 172 pounds. So he lost 18 pounds over 16 weeks, and he got lifestyle lean and to a healthy percentage of body fat based on the photos he sent me from the end of that fat loss phase. And then right after the fat loss phase, his previous coach told him that he didn't need to reverse diet as he didn't get super lean. So he transitioned him right into a bulking phase. And from the adjustments he made and the info that my new client provided me with, it looks like he took him right from a calorie deficit right into a sizable surplus, which was probably compounded by the fact that he had these metabolic adaptations from dieting, meaning his maintenance calorie intake at the end of the fat loss phase was most likely significantly lower than prior to having lost the 18 pounds that he did. So the surplus that this coach put him in was much larger than it should have been, as it was far and above his old maintenance calorie intake, let alone his new post-diet maintenance intake. So when this client contacted me, he was 4 months post-diet and into the bulking phase. And he was actually up to 196 pounds, which is 6 pounds above where he started his diet in the first place. Because when he first went to that coach, he was 190 pounds. He got down to 172, but then he was back up to 196. And that's a regain of 24 pounds in 4 months, which comes out to 6 pounds per month and a rate of gain of around 3.5% per month. Now, keep in mind that I said with most of my clients, I'm targeting a 1% rate of gain per month. And the issue with this type of fast weight regain is now he's actually at a higher body fat percentage than he started his initial fat loss phase with this coach. And he now feels terrible due to feeling like he's been force feeding himself. And he also feels like all the hard work that he did during that 4 month fat loss phase was for nothing, as he essentially just regained all the weight that he lost and then some. So I've just transitioned this client into a primary phase with the goal of undergoing body recomposition, as he now has enough stored energy on his body in the form of fat, where I can place him into a slight deficit, yet still have him build muscle while losing body fat, especially because his training programming and lifestyle design wasn't dialed And he was also, coached just through like macro and calorie adjustments from his last coach. So I've already significantly improved the nutrient density, the macronutrient composition, the food quality, and the micronutrient intake of his diet. So I'm confident that we're going to be able to rectify the situation. But this is a common mistake many individuals and newer coaches make in how they approach nutritional programming design for muscle growth, where they try to push things too hard out the gates and they're not really paying attention to the individual characteristics of that client and their response to things. And then, before you know it, this person's only 4 months into a building phase, which is generally like the minimum threshold that I would set for a building phase. However, he's up 24 pounds. He's regained all the weight that he had lost and then some, and he's in a place where both physically and, physically and mentally, he's not in a good state and he's not motivated. And he's really, kind of suffering the ramifications of the approach that this coach had him take. All right. Mistake number six is creating a weekly surplus by undereating during the week and overeating on the weekend. And when I go through food logs and do consultations with individuals regarding their nutrition, I often encounter people who eat significantly more on weekends than they do during the week. And this is something that the vast majority of people in our general population do. However, I think it's important to point out that just because the majority of people engage in these habits doesn't mean that that's the best approach to our physique goals. As if we look at the general population, over two-thirds of individuals are either overweight or obese, and over 93% of Americans are categorized as metabolically unhealthy. So to achieve a lean, muscular, healthy physique, we can't just follow the crowd, and rather we need to take a more optimized approach towards our physique goals. And what I often see when going through food logs is that many eat right around maintenance during the week, and then they overeat on the weekends. So either the majority or the entirety of their calorie surplus is created on the weekends by having either cheat meals or cheat days. And the issue with this type of approach is that you've been at maintenance the majority of the week, but then due to eating hyperpalatable foods and having multiple restaurant meals out, you end up in this large surplus, and a much larger surplus than you expected. So you're gaining fat at an expedited rate, which eventually will shorten the amount of runway you have for muscle growth. Another situation I see with many of the women that come to me for coaching is that they're in a deficit Monday through Friday and then in a surplus on the weekends, which is what I refer to as weekday dieting. And this will hinder your results when fat loss is your goal, as you're essentially undoing the deficit every single weekend. But if muscle gain is your goal, you can't make up for being in a deficit the vast majority of the week by overfeeding on the weekends, as you're not going to accrue a significant amount of muscle being in a surplus only 2 days per week. And all this does is lead to a situation where you're underfueled for your training Monday through Friday, so you're not able to fuel the muscle growth process. But then you're eating in excess in a compressed period of time, which can lead to excess fat gain, but limited muscle gain, which is the exact opposite of the goal of implementing a lean building phase approach. Muscle growth is a slow process, which is optimized by sufficiently fueling ourselves consistently. But if you're in a deficit 5 days per week, those 2 days you're in a surplus is not going to help you grow a substantial amount of muscle, as the vast majority of your week, you're hindering your muscle growth process, and you're more likely to gain fat on this approach as the calories you do take in are of lower quality food sources, which are calorie dense, less satiating, and much easier to overconsume and overeat on. So this is essentially like a half-assed, a backwards approach towards optimizing muscle growth, because you're overconsuming on the weekends, you're underconsuming during the week, and you're spending the vast majority of your time in an underfueled state where you're not able to actually build tissue and optimize the body composition improvement process. All right, so mistake seven is being too flexible with your food choices and eating out too frequently. I definitely believe that you should have increased dietary flexibility during a building phase. And this is something I implement with my own clients as I continue to build up their intake. But as with most things in nutrition, many individuals who are fitness and physique driven struggle with the art of moderation. So it's almost like the floodgates open for them when they go into a building phase and they make the mistake of being far too flexible with their food choices. I'm a big fan of what's called structured flexibility. And I found the best method during a lean building phase is to build the foundation of a client's muscle gain diet around whole, satiating, nutrient-dense food sources that fall in line with the components of a healthy dietary pattern, as we don't want to just gain muscle at the sacrifice of our health. So this is where having a diet that's built on a foundation of lean protein sources, whole grains, fruits and vegetables, unrefined carbs, and healthy fats, with most of that coming from unsaturated fat sources like mono and polyunsaturated fats, as well as omega-3 essential fatty acids, can be highly beneficial both for our muscle gain and our metabolic health goals. Then a smaller percentage of your diet can come from tastier foods, and you can have some additional flexibility in what food choices you consume. But regardless of the approach that you take, whether it's a flexible dieting approach, and if it fits your macros approach, a whole foods approach. It doesn't matter. The majority of your diet should not be coming from processed foods, hyperpalatable foods, and high calorie yet nutrient devoid food sources. As these food sources will not only leave you more predisposed to overeat, but they can also have negative impacts on your health. And we always have to keep that in mind, especially when going into a surplus, when you have an excess of energy. And if that excess of energy is coming from processed and hyperpalatable foods, it's actually even more deleterious for your metabolic health and your insulin sensitivity levels. However, many individuals loosen up the reins too much during a building phase in comparison to a fat loss phase. And due to not treating their building phases with the same effort and thoughtfulness, especially in terms of their food choices, they often don't see the progress they desire from a muscle gain perspective. And on the other end of the spectrum, they often find themselves gaining far more fat than they'd like to. And there are several mistakes around food flexibility and how others approach their nutrition during building phases, which hold them back from maximizing their physique potential progress. And one is not tracking their intake as consistently as they have done during their dieting phases. Another mistake is not making smart food swaps. So many will tend to err towards playing macro Tetris during building phases due to having a higher and larger calorie budget to play with. But if you're consistently swapping out nutrient-dense, high-quality food sources for lower-quality processed food sources just because they taste good, you're essentially going to cause yourself to experience more hunger and less satiety in each meal, but you're also going to lower the nutrient density and the fiber intake of your diet. And that's going to impact your micronutrient intake, which is crucial for helping you look, perform, and feel your best. Another mistake is eating out too often. And so, within that, one mistake that many make in terms of their approach to eating out is they frequently go out to eat during a building phase and they look at every single meal out as a celebratory meal. So when it comes to eating meals out, this is something we can include in moderation. But if you're constantly going out to eat and picking the most delicious meals on the menu, it's going to negatively impact your body composition progress, as restaurant meals can contain between 200 to 245% more calories than what they claim the you know what they claim the menu the meal has on the menu essentially. So when we see those nutrition facts, they're generally highly inaccurate. And think about it like this. It's not like the cook or the chef in the back who's making your meal is looking at the menu and weighing out every single ingredient to make sure that it hits the macros that you need to hit. Their job is to make food as tasty and pleasing as possible. And this is where we need to increase awareness around our eating out habits and how it's impacting your body composition and progress overall. All of these mistakes regarding too much food flexibility usually results in more weight gain during a building phase, but more of that is just coming from fat than muscle. And it's not that you can't enjoy yourself during during a building phase. You just can't do it in excess and expect to progress your physique optimally. The next mistake is mistake number eight, which is having excessive cheat meals. And if I had to pick one component that I often see mess people's progress and body composition up during a building phase, is using this phase as a free pass to have either excessively large cheat meals and or cheat days, or to incorporate a ton of cheat meals each and every week. And this not only causes these individuals to be in a much higher surplus than they're aiming for or even able to accurately account for, but it has downstream effects on their metabolic health and on their body composition progress. And we see in the literature on overfeeding that even acute periods of overfeeding, such as just one day of overfeeding, individuals can experience increases in body fat gain, increases in inflammation, increases in oxidative stress, and all these components, all these downstream cascades will diminish your level of insulin sensitivity and increase your risk of insulin resistance. Then, when it comes to the effects of cheat meals and cheat days, there's a 2017 study where researchers wanted to examine the effects of a single day of high fat feeding on insulin sensitivity to tease out the metabolic consequences of eating in excess in one day or binge eating for one day. And in this study, they took young, healthy adults and had them perform an oral glucose tolerance test both before and after a one-day period of overfeeding to be able to assess their baseline levels of metabolic health, and then compared it to one day of excess eating. And so during a one-day period, they fed these participants a 78% calorie surplus, meaning around three-quarters above their maintenance calorie intake, which may sound drastic, but this is often what people do in a single cheat meal, let alone a single cheat day. Because say that these individuals' maintenance calorie intake was 2,000 calories. A 78% calorie surplus would mean that on this overfeeding day, they ate 3,560 calories that day, which isn't far-fetched at all, or even hard to accomplish or get, because if we actually look at the average calorie counts of a single meal at a restaurant, it generally contains between 1200 and 1600 calories. So when they put these individuals into a surplus, it was a 1560 calorie surplus for that day if they had a 2000 calorie maintenance intake. So you could add a single entree from a restaurant to your normal diet, and you've already hit that size of a surplus. And that's without taking into account any appetizers, any calorie-containing drinks, and alcoholic beverages and desserts you may have in addition to your entree when going out to eat. So within this study, they found that after only one day of overfeeding, these participants experienced an increase in their postprandial, so post-meal, glucose area under the curve of 17.1%. It also increased their insulin levels by 16.4%, and they experienced a 28% decrease in their whole body insulin sensitivity levels. So just one day or one single day of overfeeding can rapidly impair glucose metabolism and insulin sensitivity in healthy individuals. So basically, just one day of excess eating resulted in a much higher level of insulin resistance, which led to worse nutrient partitioning. And the thing is, this increase in calories seen in this study can easily be hit in one cheat meal, let alone exceeded in one cheat day. So if you do this consistently or regularly, this effect can compound and add upon itself and lead to excessive fat gain and decrements to your health markers. And I always say that a healthy body is a responsive body because those who have their health in check are not only more metabolically flexible and better able to liberate, oxidize, and lose body fat, but they're also able to grow muscle at a more efficient rate due to the fact that they're insulin sensitive and can handle higher amounts of carbohydrates, which can then be used to fuel progressive training, which over time leads to a better ability to pack on muscle. However, you're not going to be able to maximize your ability to gain muscle and minimize your likelihood of gaining fat eating a low-quality diet. And if you think about it, the average person is over-consuming calories and gaining weight on a year-to-year basis. Yet most, so they're in a surplus, to say the least. Yet most of that weight gain comes from the addition of fat mass. And this is because many of them are overfed on calories, but undernourished from a micronutrient standpoint, which is why you shouldn't be just focusing on calories and on just making sure you're in a surplus during a building phase without considering the macronutrient composition of your diet, your quality of the foods that you're consuming, your micronutrient intake, and on maintaining an overall healthy dietary pattern. And we want to make sure that the foundation of the diet is built out properly before we start adding in lower quality foods. So you should have high quality, complete protein sources with a full amino acid profile, quality carbohydrate sources that are filled with micronutrients. You should be making sure that you have adequate fiber intake and a sufficient amount of fruits and vegetables in your diet to be able to cover your bases. And then from there, you can add in additional flexibility and some more fun food sources. But it's really important to realize that just because something fits your macros doesn't mean that they should be a part of your macros on a daily basis. And this is really where the nuances of nutrition come out because you are going to have a larger calorie budget. And there's nothing wrong with having some increased flexibility and fitting things in here or there. But if every single day you're swapping out, very high quality, nutrient dense whole food sources for processed, junk, it's going to have a deleterious effect on your health, how you feel, your digestion, your satiety levels, and then ultimately the body composition progress you make long term. All right, on to mistake number nine, which is not being consistent enough and swinging from extreme to extreme in terms of your commitment and consistency to the process. And many people take their fat loss phases seriously, but then when it comes to their reverse, their maintenance, and/or their building phases, it's like all bets are off. And they completely lose structure, consistency, and adherence. It's a good idea to incorporate some balance, rest, and recovery post-diet, but the reason why so few people maintain their fat loss progress, and even fewer gain enough muscles to substantially improve their physiques, is due to their lack of consistency in any other phase than what, but when they're entering a dieting phase and they're focused on cutting. If you want to be able to improve your body composition, you should be viewing your building phases as seriously and with as much importance and priority as you do your fat loss phases. The building phase is where you make most of your physique improvements and build your body, whereas the dieting phase is when you reveal those improvements. So building phases should focus on gaining muscle and building your foundation, and your fat loss phases should focus on maintaining muscle and burning body fat to refine the shape and the look of your physique. And those who make the most improvements year to year are those who apply the same adherence and consistency to their building phases as they do their fat loss phases. As consistently compounds, so the longer you remain consistent with your nutrition and your training, the more it adds up and the better results and progress you make over time. Another huge mistake is not being consistent enough, which also goes hand in hand with expecting results too quickly. And in order to build an appreciable amount of muscle, you need to be consistent. Many lack this consistency and their actions just don't match up to their desired physique outcomes. And in order to maximize your ability to gain muscle, you must be willing to put in the reps in and out of the gym, both literally and figuratively, as building muscle is a process that requires you to repetitively execute certain habits and behaviors that over time compound and add up to noticeable physique progress. So you should be looking to continuously check off the boxes within your nutrition, your training, and your lifestyle on a daily basis over a long period of time. A lot of people also have false perceptions about how long or quick it takes to build muscle, which leads to false expectations, which ultimately lead to disappointment and discouragement. You need to see this phase as an investment into your future physique and your future self, and remind yourself that the work you put in now is going to pay off once you do decide to diet back down, as a successful building phase can allow you to increase your muscle mass, better your body composition, improve your training performance, reverse any metabolic adaptations you had sustained from previous diets, and allows us to build up your energy intake so that we have a larger calorie budget to pull from when we do transition back into a fat loss focus phase. And last but not least, the final mistake is mistake number 10, which is trying to intuitively eat during a building phase. If your goal is body composition change and improvement, trying to use an intuitive eating approach is not an effective method. Intuitive eating, by definition, is a weight neutral approach, meaning its intention is not to positively impact or influence your physique or body composition. In order to build the best body possible, you will have to utilize some form of dietary restraint and cognitive oversight, as 99% of you aren't going to be able to intuitively maintain a slight calorie surplus and get in a sufficient protein intake on the daily basis to maximize muscle growth. And to increase muscle mass or decrease body fat to any substantial degree, you're going to have to override some of your natural habits and behaviors, especially those which have held you back from reaching your physique goals in the past. So to rely completely on your intuitive cues to drive your nutrition behaviors would be an approach that would hinder your ability to make significant physique progress, as the vast majority of the general population have spent years or decades eating by intuition, yet very few of those in the general population walk around with a lean, muscular physique taking this approach. And that's what many of you want. And so we really have to put some systems in place and some structure to be able to align both your ambitions with the outcomes that you're looking for, and also to set you up in a position where you're most likely to succeed, rather than trying to take an intuitive reading approach and then just spinning your wheels. So, to finish this podcast off, I want to go over a case study of one of my clients, Tim, who I just took through a lean building phase approach. Tim is someone that I've known for several years, and initially we started working together just from a mentorship perspective, where he would do consultations with me to learn about various topics related to nutrition, training, blood work, all these different various aspects that I do within a private coaching mentorship that I offer. And about a year ago, Tim reached out and contacted me about coaching, as my coaching and mentorship services are separate, and he was interested in having me take over both his nutrition and his training programming. Now, when he first contacted me, he had just completed a mini cut on his own, and he was about 4 weeks post-diet, but he was regaining fat at a very rapid rate, despite his calorie intake not being very high. So it turns out that he ran a very aggressive mini cut during a very high stress period of his life. And due to the aggressive approach that he took, he incurred a lot of metabolic adaptations, and he did so at a rapid rate. And once he exited the deficit, his body was primed to regain fat mass rather than lean mass, and that's exactly what he was experiencing. And as a result of this rapid weight regain, he was frustrated with his body composition. His health metrics were a mess, especially due to the personal stress he was experiencing. So, I remember looking at his intake form and having a discussion with him, and his blood glucose was highly elevated, and he was insulin resistant. His resting heart rate was quite elevated, which indicates that he was stuck in like the sympathetic state, sympathetic dominant state, essentially of fight or flight. And he was also dealing with tons of GI issues and excess inflammation. So our first 4 months spent working together were spent in a primer phase. And when he first came to me for coaching, he was around 180 pounds. And by the end of that 4 month primer phase, we had dropped off a ton of body fat, inflammation, and stress-induced water retention that he was holding, and he was a lean 169 pounds. But his health metrics had also drastically and dramatically improved. So his blood glucose went from an average of over 100 milligrams per deciliter, which is on the pre-diabetic spectrum, to an average of 80 milligrams per deciliter per day. And we got his resting heart rate down more than 10 beats per minute. And after getting his body into a much healthier and more prime state, we sat down and assessed his goals. And his main goal was to build a substantial amount of muscle and to create an X frame physique, as he's like a big fan of like classic bodybuilding physique. So that was really what he was intentions, like wider delts, a wide back, bigger chest, fuller chest, and then also big sweeping quads. So over the past 8 months, we've been in a building phase, and he's now up 25 pounds from the end of the primer phase. However, his body composition right now at 195 pounds is currently leaner and more muscular than it was when he first came to me weighing 180 pounds. So he's not only had an extremely productive building phase and packed on a ton of lean tissue, but he's also recomped in the process. And he also feels much better now at 195 pounds than he did at 180, as during the primer phase, I was able to reverse the metabolic adaptations he was experiencing, a result of that aggressive mini cut. And gradually, I was able to work his food intake up, and now he's been able to eat more than ever without worrying about packing on excess fat as he was previously, because he's built so much more tissue. And we've dialed in his training to a level where, on most days, honestly, most of his training days, he's eating between 600 to 700 grams of carbohydrates per day. And even on his off days, he's eating more total calories than he came to be consuming. So regardless of how we look at it, he's eating a ton more food, but he's partitioning it and he's utilizing it so more efficiently than he was previously. However, a big factor in Tim's success is that he's been extremely consistent, and he realized that his goals would take some time. And due to that, we haven't rushed the process as he has in the past, trying to do short mini bulks. And as a result, he's made his best physique progress to date. So this is just an example of how this is an investment into your future self. But if you really buy into the process, you stay consistent, you take a slight surplus, and you really fuel yourself appropriately without overdoing it. So we have to walk this tightrope essentially between, sufficiently fueling ourselves and not overdoing it. It can really yield substantial and tangible physique progress. And I recommend you guys go onto my Instagram and look at the transformation that Tim has made from 180 pounds to 195. And keep in mind that that's a year time gap in between, but we've only been building 8 months out of those because I had put him through a primer phase the first 4 months. But this is an advanced trainee. This is someone that's in their 30s. They've been training for quite a long period of time. So it's not like a brand new trainee that a 15-pound recomp is like very expected, say at least. But this is someone that has years in the trenches, and it's really been by optimizing his approach that we've been able to make that progress. So as always, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Chasing Clarity podcast. If you need anything from me whatsoever, whether that be one-on-one coaching or Zoom consultations, please feel free to reach out to me at my email, which is bdecruzfitness@gmail.com, or you guys can find me on Instagram, which is at @BrandonDeCruz_. Also, please remember to follow the show on Spotify or iTunes, leave a review, and share the show on your stories so that we can continue to reach more listeners and have a positive ripple effect on the industry. As my goal, honestly, and this has always been my goal, is really to bridge the gap between research and information and then practical application. So let all of you out there that listen to the show and that those you share it with can look better, feel better, function better, and live a life that includes walking around with better body composition and a mindset of abundance. Hope you guys have a great week and a weekend ahead. Peace.